Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend and co-host, Malcolm Hoadline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Anti-Semitism and brutality on the elite campuses of America, much in the news. We welcome Shabbos Kestenbaum, a divinity student at the Harvard Divinity School. He is also a member of the Harvard community. And one day, I learned from the New York Post, he was confronted by anti-Israeli demonstrators calling, quote, globally expand the intifada. Shabbos, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining. What happened that day? Can you help us understand this unacceptable conduct? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. So as is typical, unfortunately, of most universities and institutions of higher learning in the United States, I was walking to Widener Library, which is really the heart and soul of Harvard University. And I, along with other Jewish students, were exposed to chants, globalize the intifada, free Palestine from the river to the sea. I'm someone who's visibly Jewish. I wear my skull cap, my kippah every day. And it became so uncomfortable at best and threatening at worst to have fellow classmates, those who we share spaces with, and in some cases, professors who we learn from, chanting to globalize the intifada, one of the hardest periods for the Jewish people since the Holocaust, where school buses and hospitals and restaurants were blown up. And I can't tell you how frightening the normalization of that type of conduct and speech has been at Harvard and other universities.
This was in October, so, Shabbos. Can you recall? Was it October or November?
It was either October, November, but certainly within a couple of weeks after October 7th,
right.
Really before there was this ground invasion in the way that it is today. Emotions were incredibly high, but unfortunately, this conduct has continued into the spring semester and shows no signs of lessening. On the contrary, most of these anti-Israel groups on campus have promised to continue to disrupt classes, to call for the freeing of Palestine from the river to the sea. And once again, we see no action from the university.
And I read from the New York Post, 6 Jewish Harvard students are suing the university for discrimination because it was their last recourse. That is, you can represent. What is it that you want to achieve from this lawsuit?
Sure. So the lawsuit, as you rightly pointed out, really was our last recourse. It's not something we wanted to do. We wanted to work with the administration from day one, but they have either been unwilling or unable to work with us, and thus we have this lawsuit. So our goals are sort of twofold. Number one, Harvard, as most universities, especially those that receive federal dollars, has obligations under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. Those obligations mean that minority groups, Jewish students being part of that, cannot be discriminated against. And the hatred, the discrimination, and the bigotry that Jewish students have experienced almost on a daily basis on college campuses, and in particular at Harvard University, have made this lawsuit, unfortunately, a necessity. So part one is really making sure that Harvard fulfills those federal obligations. And part two is Harvard itself has school policies and has a code of conduct. When I give them my tuition dollars, I engage in a contract whereby I give them the money, and they provide me an educational experience and to some degree, a minimal degree of safety. And they've reneged on both parts of that. They have diminished our educational opportunities. For example, as you just mentioned, having been verbally accosted almost on a daily basis to globalize terrorism against Jewish people. And they have not disciplined the students who are engaged in anti-Semitism. So this lawsuit will hold Harvard to account. It will make sure that anti-Semitism is not given a free pass. And it sends a powerful message to other institutions of higher learning that the days of Jew hatred are over.
Malcolm?
When we have the lawsuits at Harvard, but also across the country, because I think the students, and by the way, Jewish and non-Jewish students, are joining because this discrimination also can impact other communities. And we see quotas being introduced. So first of all, the university's responses, it seems to range from complicity to encouragement to indifference. What is your sense of how now, after the dismissal of the president or though she remains on the faculty, has impacted? And the fact that the donors have now come forward and really put the markers down, which is something no university can ignore, has that changed their approach?
Sure. So I'll answer the second part of that question as pertains to the donors. Money talks, and we do know that donors pulling out has had an effect. But I think it's important to realize that this is not, as many professors and as the Harvard PR team would like to say, this was not an effort of outside conservative activists who toppled the president or are pushing for reforms. This is a grassroots movement by students themselves at Harvard, Jewish students and non-Jewish students, those who are saying that this type of hatred and discrimination must end. So first and foremost, yes, it's helpful to have activists like Bill Ackman on our side, so to say. But ultimately, we had 1,000 students and 1,000 alumni right after Claudine Gay's disastrous congressional testimony calling for her resignation. As it pertains to the first question, what has changed since she has left? I think, number one, it does speak volumes that she's still given a teaching position and $900,000 after throwing the Jews under the bus. I think that's quite telling. But at this point, that's water under the bridge. Since her resignation, Harvard students have posted on a third-party app called SciChat, which is made for Harvard students. They posted that Jews have too much control over the media, that Jews are both baby killers and pedophiles. And we've seen that type of language and rhetoric be normalized. Just last week, the very first day back to campus, we had every single Jewish hostage poster vandalized with horrific anti-Semitism, blaming Jews for 9/11. So unfortunately, for those who read the lawsuit, and I encourage everyone to do so, you'll walk away with the realization that this is far larger than one person. This is a systemic issue at Harvard, and there needs to be a systemic reformation or a reform that goes at the center of the moral rot at Harvard University.
Do you also address the foreign funding issue and the impact of, especially of Qatari billions on the universities, including Harvard?
Yeah, that's literally the million-dollar question. So part of the process of the lawsuit is we're going to enter into a discovery period. And that discovery period is when Harvard will be forced to produce documents and really gives an insight into their operations. So, for example, we want to know how much money is the Qatari government, for example, giving Harvard University? How much money are foreign countries giving to these universities? And that will certainly be exposed.
Shabbos, I'm showing my age. I'm a 20th century educated person. None of this existed. We were all very well educated. Where does this come from? Is it ignorance by these young people?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say a lot of it is ignorance. You know, there was a great study done that showed that at least half of young people who chant from the river to the sea don't know which river and don't know which sea they're referring to. So a lot of it is ignorance, but a lot of it is unfortunately fueled by this insidious ideology that everyone at this point has heard of diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI, which creates a binary system of oppressor and oppressed. And Jews have the misfortune of being characterized as white. And so the anti-Jewish behavior and rhetoric we are seeing can be easily explained because Jews are white, white are the oppressors. So part of it is ignorance, and part of it is a deep-seated hatred that has been fueled by this ideology at major universities. And again, that's what this lawsuit really seeks to address, just how rampant and out-of-control anti-Semitism has become.
Malcolm?
In terms of the allies, are you finding support in non-Jewish communities amongst different groups, including like
Absolutely.
Asian Americans, who are discriminated
yeah.
against as well? And second, from the federal government in terms of the application of Title VI?
Sure. So in terms of creating a broad coalition of different minority groups and just different sections of society, we have seen unprecedented support. I have had people from both inside and outside Harvard reach out and saying, thank you for doing this, and this is about time. I also think it's important to recognize it's not about me. This lawsuit, it's really giving a voice to anyone who's been on the receiving end of hatred and discrimination and bigotry. But yeah, the support has been pretty overwhelming. In many cases, and this is a discussion for another time, but the support from the Christian community at times even rivals the support from the Jewish community. So we've been really blessed in that regard. The federal government. I can speak to the congressional investigation that's currently ongoing. They have reached out to us. I've spoken with them, Congresswoman Virginia Fox, Elise Stefanik, and really a broad bipartisan coalition of policymakers have really supported this endeavor and want to create systems of education that are about education once again, and not political activism, not social sloganeering, and certainly not about anti-Semitism.
Shabbos Kestenbaum is a student at the Harvard Divinity School, Malcolm Honlein Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.